I'm especially thankful for the topic that I received this morning too, because I think this is an area that we've neglected in the church. Not that we haven't talked about it, but that we haven't lived it. We're going to be talking about God's given role to fathers, mothers, and children. With every God-given responsibility comes a God-given accountability. We're accountable for the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. It's important that our families be what God would have them to be. We need to get the Bible back in the home. And if you only hear one thing this morning, hear that. It's time to get the Bible back in our homes. And I don't mean have it on a shelf. I don't mean have it in a drawer. I mean study it, live it, learn it together with your family. It's time to get the Bible back in the home. We need fathers like Abraham. Turn back with me to Genesis, the 18th chapter. And we're going to see in this chapter why God chose Abraham. Why God chose Abraham. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19 says, and God in this passage is discussing, telling Abraham about what he's about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says this about Abraham. For I know him. And you know, if we stopped right there, that would be enough. We're going to go on in the verse in just a minute. But the fact is, God knows you. God knows me. Now I wonder what God knows. But the fact is, God does know us. He knows Abraham. Look what he says about Abraham. And he will suggest to his children, if it's convenient, and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, if it doesn't interfere with their ball games and their schoolwork. Is that what it says? No. Look what it says. And he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He knew Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. Abraham followed God, and Abraham was going to bring his family to follow God. We need fathers and grandfathers like Abraham. We need fathers like Joshua. Turn over to the book of Joshua. Chapter 24. Joshua talking to the people. God's people. God's people. Who wanted to turn after the gods of the land. That's something for us to remember. Look what he says. Joshua 24 and verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, you think Joshua knew what he was going to do? You think he knows how he's going to train his family? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren, have you determined that in your homes? I pray that you have. I pray that each one of us has stood and said, I don't care what our society goes after and what it does, the immorality, the impurity. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need mothers and grandmothers like Eunice and Lois. And I think this really bears going to and looking to. And I know we know these passages I'm about to read, but let's look at it and think about it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks to him of his faith. And look what he says about his faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The question I have this morning is, how did his grandmother and his mother get that faith into him? Paul doesn't leave that to guesswork. He tells us in chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And you know, the only way to build faith in our children is by teaching them the Holy Scriptures. You know how I know that? Because Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans the 10th chapter and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come any other way. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. You know why Timothy had faith? Because he was taught the Holy Scriptures. And you know why your children will have faith if they have faith? Because you have taught them the Holy Scriptures. And if your children don't have faith, you know why they won't? Because they haven't heard. Now, he says something interesting also in that first chapter about his grandmother and his mother. That is, Timothy's grandmother and mother. He says it was a faith that was in them. They lived it and they taught it. You know, that's the example which Jesus laid down for us. Luke said in Acts, the first chapter and verse 1, in my former treatise, O Theophilus, I began to teach you all that Jesus, what? Began to do and to teach. You see, the two have to go together. We have to live Christianity and we have to teach Christianity. Can't do one without the other, or it will be ineffective. Maybe we've been a little inconsistent in our living and our teaching before our children. Now, a scripture that I know you all know is found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. What's it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, what are you seeking first in your family? Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. What are you seeking first in your family? What comes first? What comes first? What are you living? And what are you teaching? It's interesting, and through the years I've heard this. Well, I did the best I could do. I wonder, have we done the best that we could do? I wonder, have we done the best that we could do? Mothers and fathers, if you are not fulfilling your God-given responsibility as husband and wife, which we can't really go into today because we don't have enough time for, but the fact is, if you're not living those responsibilities before your children, they are not going to understand authority. Because God has put authority in the home. The father's to be the head of the house. He's to be the head of the home, spiritually and in all other ways. Fathers, if you're not the head of the home, and wives, if you're not living in submission as the Bible teaches, these two work together beautifully. You're misteaching about authority. You see, how we live is important, because it's not only what we say and what we teach from God's Word, but it's what they see in our lives and see if it matches what God says. Because if we say God says to do this and yet I do this, we're teaching our children two opposite things. And you know what the easiest lesson to learn is? To follow in the ways of sin. That's the easiest thing to do. That's the easiest thing to do. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Now, this is God's law for His people and how His people are to keep pure. This is what they were supposed to do. We would do well to heed the advice. No. We would do well to heed the commandments that Moses gave the people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt, look at this, teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt take them, talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I wonder if we talk to our children about God at all. He said, you teach them God's commandments all the time. He said, when you sit in your house, what should you be doing? Teaching the commandments of God. When you walk by the way, what should you be doing? Teaching the commandments of God. When you lie down, when you rise up, all the time we should be teaching the commandments of God. And you know what? We aren't teaching all the time. We are teaching all the time by how we live. We need to be doing it verbally as well. We need to be teaching God's commands. Now, here's something that I really want us to focus in on. Start down in verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee, great and godly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou filledest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, then thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Look at that. And then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Now you know what happened? They got there, and they had all those things, and they forgot God. And brethren, we are living in a society that has too much junk. And we, I'm afraid, have forgotten God in all the luxury that we live in. We don't have time for God anymore. And brethren, when you don't have time for God and living Christianity and teaching your children about God, you are too busy. Don't forget him. Don't forget him. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'm sorry I missed Brother Catro's lesson on this passage last night. I've got some young ones at home ill. But this is a passage which we need to learn. And it starts out by talking about the children's responsibility to the parents. And it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, two things, young people, you need to learn. They're right here in this passage. Honor and obey. Honor and obey. Now, we know what obedience is. Obedience is to do what is said, when it is said, and how it is said. That's obedience. You know how important this is to God, obedience of children to parents? It's very, very important. Come with me to Romans, the first chapter. Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 29, reads this way. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Are you looking at this list? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now we look and we say, murder, that's horrible. Haters of God, that's horrible. And we look at disobedience to parents and we say, well, that's not so bad. It is to God. You know why? Because you are learning obedience to authority. And if you don't learn obedience to authority, you will not be obedient to God. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. The same thing is said over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verses 1 to 4. A list of absolutely horrible things. And one of the horrible things that's listed in that passage is being disobedient to parents. We need to honor, show respect for our parents. We live in a society where it doesn't matter where you go, you hear children being disrespectful to their parents. They talk back, they murmur, they complain. Sounds a whole lot like the children of Israel, doesn't it? And they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, let's get it down on a level where we can understand it, because honor and obedience go hand in hand together. It's time to take the trash out. And you're sitting down there watching your favorite television show. And mom or dad says, go empty the trash. Now, what do you do? Now you have three choices. Three choices. You can get up and go do it. That's obedience with respect. That is, if you do it with a good attitude. Or you could get up and murmur and complain and throw the trash can this way and grab that trash and take it out and shove it down in the big trash can and put the lid on and slam it against the garage door, come back in, slam the door, and go back in. That's obedience with disrespect. Just as condemnable as disobedience. Or you could say, well, wait a minute, because I'm watching my show and I'll do it when I feel like. That's disobedience with disrespect. Pretty easy, isn't it? God said, obey and honor. Now, are we going to do that, or are we going to be haters of God and disobedient to Him? That's our choice. Young people, that is your God-given responsibility and something that you are accountable for. If you were to die right now, you'd face God and you would be accountable for how you've been obedient to your parents. Because God says, obey and honor. But I want to spend the remainder of my time on parents' responsibility. We're still in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. After he's commanded the young people the children what's right. He then says this. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you have the responsibility, the accountability of bringing up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And naturally, the wife is going to place and be a big part of this process, being the helpmeet that she is. But I want us just to look at those two words for just a moment, nurture and admonition. Now, the idea of nurture is this: discipline or punishment with training. I know when my children were babies, people used to really get on to me. Because my babies, or they were toddlers, they would do something and I would sit them down and I would say, "You cannot do that." And I would spank them. And I would tell them, "And this is why you cannot do it." And people would say, "Why in the world are you telling that toddler that? They can't understand that." And I said, "They may not now, but by the time they've heard it through the years they live with me, they will understand not only what they can and cannot do, but why it's acceptable or unacceptable. The training part is good." You see, the punishment without the training is useless. What does that do? That just makes people mad. The Hebrew writer tells us punishment's not pleasurable at the time, and we all know that. And if it doesn't have an instruction with it, it's worthless. The instruction is so important. For so many years, we've told our young people, "We don't drink, we don't gamble, we don't dance." And we don't. And there's good biblical reasons why we don't. Why don't we tell them why? Let's sit them down with the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and show them why that those are not appropriate activities for Christians. Instruction with punishment. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, "You spare the rod," our world would say, "you spoil the child," but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "You spare the rod, you hate your child." You know why it says you hate your child? Because you don't care how they grow up. You don't care if they're obedient to you. You don't care if they're obedient to the laws of the land. And you don't care most of all about their eternal soul and whether they're obedient to God. It's time that we nurture our children. That we punish them, yes, but we explain why and what is appropriate and why what they did is not appropriate. Admonition, and that really means putting into mind, admonition of the Lord. We are commanded. Are you getting this? Write this down. We are commanded to teach our children to put in their minds God. You can't do that without teaching the Scripture in your home. That is your God-given responsibility. And you are accountable for that. Seems to me that the difference between nurturing and admonition is this: that nurturing involves, when something is done wrong, a discipline or a punishment for that, along with instructions. Whereas admonition is the teaching of that which is right, which is true. And brethren, if it's not in God's law, it is not true. It is not right. We need to nurture our children. We need to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Fathers and mothers, how often do you sit down with your children and open God's Word and study it? Now let me ask you another question. How often do you sit down in front of the TV together and stare at it? It seems like I recall my Bible saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Where are our priorities? Do you love your children? Do you love their souls? Teach them God's Word. It's time to get the Bible back in our homes. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up the child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." We know the verse. Now, I just want to ask a question. This is a question I want to ask. Are we training our children the way that we should? Brethren, if we're not teaching them God's Word in our home, we're not. It's just that simple. If you're too busy to teach Christianity to your children, you are way, 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 way too busy. Can you teach your children about authority if you are exceeding the speed limit? No. Because when you exceed the speed limit, you're saying that authority doesn't matter. You do what you want, when you want, how you want. Brethren, it's time that we live as Christians and we teach Christianity to our children. Children learn respect for God. They learn respect for God's Word, the Bible. They learn respect for God's people, the church. They learn respect for worship from you and your attitudes towards those things. In Australia, we had a two-week meeting, and I know that's unheard of, 2 weeks. You have to give up 2 weeks. That's 14 nights, 14 nights in a row to hear God's Word. And I know it's a real strain on some of us to get here three times a week. And what a pity that is. We had a meeting for 14 nights. One night, a couple of ladies came in and they were complaining, saying, "You know, we have to get here every night. We get our kids ready. You know, we should have really thought about this before we did this." I said to them this, and I want you to listen to this. I asked them, I said, "Number one, were your kids in the car when you were complaining about it?" And they said, "Yes, they were." And I said, "Now I want you to think about, what did you teach them about the church tonight?" And I'm sad to tell you that two of those kids learned the lesson they were taught that night and attend the worship of the church no more. Because they were taught that worship is a drudgery. It's something you have to do. It's terrible. What happened to the attitude of the psalmist? "I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord." Come on, we have to go to church again. You know what? You're teaching your children wrong. You're training them up wrong if you're teaching them that kind of morality. Have we trained our children like we should? "Well, I did the best I could." You know, is that the best we can do? Brethren, 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 souls are at stake. Our souls and the souls of our children. Let me ask you this question. Do you want your children to believe that homosexuality is okay and that it's just an alternative lifestyle? Do you want your children to believe that? Do you want them to believe that premarital sex is acceptable? Do you want your children to believe that divorce for any reason at any time is okay? Do you want your children to believe that drinking and drugs is acceptable? Do you want your children to believe if you want some extra money, all you have to do is go out and gamble and get it? Do you want your children to believe that whatever they want is what they need, and so they need to walk over whoever they can to get it? Do you want your children to believe that it's okay to talk back to you and to be disrespectful to you and to be disrespectful to God? Do you want your children to think that it's okay to take God's name in vain? Do you want your children to think it's okay to curse? Do you want your children to lie and cheat? Then let me ask you this question. How many hours a day do you let those very morals be brought right into your own living rooms through your TV? That's the morality of TV. Brethren, my skin crawls when I hear some of my brethren talk about watching shows like Roxanne and laughing about how funny it is. Brethren, that's an anti-God show that promotes homosexuality. Is that the way you want your children trained? Well, I did the best I could. Brethren, it's time we get the Bible back in the home. It's time to get the morality of the Bible back in the home. It's time that fathers live as Christian fathers. It's time that mothers live as Christian mothers. It's time that children are taught to be obedient as Christian children. And they are not going to get those values through TV. Now, I know what you're thinking, and you're asking yourself this question, and I think it's a valid question. Do I have a TV in my home? Yes, I do. But if you were to go into my home and turn on my TV, you could get no TV channels, because I fixed it so you can't. I fixed it so I can't. Because I don't want that garbage piped into my house. Now, my TV is one of those that has a VCR into it. And people say, well, some of the things you get on video are just as bad. Well, yeah, but I don't watch those things. I've got some good videos. Do you know, I've got the videos of the debate that was in San Antonio by Brother Connolly and Mr. Luther. I've got some good tapes. And people say, well, what kind of tapes can we buy your children to watch? And I said, well, it doesn't matter what it is, but the fact is I'm going to watch it before they watch it, and if I don't like it, they're not going to see it. If it takes God's name in vain, my children are not going to watch it. If it has immoral things in it, they're not going to watch it. You say, what about good old clean Westerns? You know, I like Westerns. I got to tell you, I like Westerns. When my son was very little, he used to take his bottle and pull the cap off and pretend he was pouring in it and drink it back. You know why? Because he'd seen John Wayne do that. Now, I like Sam Elliott because I do. I just like Sam Elliott. But the fact is, I probably shouldn't. I was watching a movie with him in it one time, and it was a young couple going across the prairie, and they were having all kinds of problems, and here he was, the big, rugged Westerner, and he was fixing everything, and halfway through the movie, I thought to myself, I'm ashamed to say it, but I got to tell you, I thought to myself, wouldn't it be good if she ran off with him? Brethren, that's the deceptiveness of TV. And when we start thinking things like that, it's time to throw our TVs away. It's time. I challenge you. Turn off your TVs for 2 weeks. Don't watch them at all. And then go back and turn them on and see if you're not shocked by some of the things you hear and see. We have become so accustomed to seeing and hearing ungodly things, it goes right over us. Do you know what Jeremiah would say? He'd say, they do abominable things and they're not even able to blush. And brethren, we're getting just that bad. Is that the way to train up our children? No, no, no. Well, I did all I could. I took them to Bible class on Sunday morning, and sometimes we went on Sunday night. And you know, occasionally we even went on Wednesday night to worship. I believe in education, and don't get me wrong. But we spend more time educating our children to live 70 years than we do for them to live in all of eternity. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Did you know to get a high school education at 12 years education, that's approximately 13,032 hours? Do you know how many years it would take to get a high school education in Bible if you come to Bible class, morning worship, evening worship, Wednesday worship? Supposing you were taught for a full hour each of those times. 62 and a half years. Do you know, as I read my Bible, I find nowhere that it is the church's responsibility to bring up your children in the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. Now, granted, we're to be teaching. And I think Bible class is great, and I think we need to continue studying and doing everything we can to encourage our young people to study God's Word. But they won't get enough Bible in Bible class. It's your responsibility in the home to teach God's Word. Had a man tell me not too long ago, and I don't know if y'all are participating in this or not, but up at Southwest they're having a Bible search competition next Saturday. Our children have been studying the first 12 chapters of Acts, getting ready to go up there. A man told me, my children can't participate in Bible search because they have a commitment to baseball. Now, the children wanted to participate. And they said, we'd only miss, out of this 6 weeks of studying and going up there, we'd miss one ball game. Oh yes, he's training up his children. He's teaching them about commitment. And he's teaching them about priorities. But he's not bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Brethren, it's time to get the Bible back in our homes. Do you know why the church has lost so many young people in the last two or three decades? And why so many of our young people are susceptible to liberalism? We've given our children too much fluff and not enough faith. Oh yeah, we had game night and we built them a gymnasium and we had parties. I don't know why they're still not faithful. Well, I'll tell you why. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've stopped teaching it in our homes. But I did the best I could do. Too much fluff, not enough faith. It's time for mother and father to fulfill your God-given responsibilities. It's time to put the Bible back in our homes. It's time to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's time to reject the views of our society and the morality of our society. It's time to make our families the very center and heart of religious education. It's time to raise a generation of faithful children. And the only way to do that is to teach them God's Word in our homes. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that. Then why don't we read the Word of God to our children? The Word of God is inspired. That's what Paul thought. And he was right. And you know what he said? He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. American Standard 1901, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want your children to be furnished unto all good works? Teach them the Bible. That's the only way that they will be able to be furnished, complete, completely furnished unto every good work. The only way to get Bibles back in our homes is for us to do it. We need God back in our homes. We need God's Word to build faith and faithful young people. Plead with you, and I pray that in our homes we will study God's Word, we will learn God's Word, we will live God's Word, and we will teach God's Word. Brethren, let's get the Bible back in our homes and let us be God's families.